Welcome to a special episode of Character Creation Cast, everyone. In this bonus episode, we'll be spotlighting witchcraft and what sort of options it brings to the table for character creation and enhancement. As of the release of this episode, the Kickstarter, which still has 15 days remaining, is hovering right around the $100,000 mark. All stretch goals have been unlocked, so if you jump in now, you'll be getting the best product that they will be able to put out into the world, which is really exciting. We don't have any other big announcements right now, though, and it's just me here this episode. So how about we just get on with the show? Enjoy. Welcome to a special bonus episode of Character Creation Spotlight, everyone. In this bonus segment, we'll be shining a light on some current or up-and-coming games to keep an eye out for. I'm your host, Ryan, and today we are welcoming Shannon and Dylan from Astrolago Press to talk about Witchcraft, a supplement for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition that adds an interesting crafting mechanic to the game that is kickstarting right now. And is currently funded as of this recording, right?
Yeah, almost just shy of our second stretch goal.
Nice. Awesome. Okay, well, welcome so much to Character Creation Spotlight, both of you. It's really great to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, I'm very happy to sit down and speak with you.
Definitely. Shannon, could you go ahead and start us off and tell us a bit about yourself and any other projects that you're currently involved in?
Sure. So by day, I'm a narrative designer and writer on video games. Currently, I work at a studio here in Vancouver, BC called Clay, and working on a title called Grifflands. And we also work on the D&D projects pretty much one a year so far. So last year we did Fairy Fire, which was our Fae Glam 80s bestiary, and Witchcraft is our second book. I also write comics and edit on the side as well. So that's pretty much all of my ventures. Yeah.
Very nice. And how about yourself, Dylan?
So I'm the lead designer here at Astrolago. I am also in video games. I've been in video games for about 10 years now. And cool. I work at a studio downtown, currently QA.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of fun. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Okay, normally Amelia would be here to help, but life is normally busy for us, so that means there's just me here today with our guests, and since this is an abridged version of our normal format, we will just be sticking to the highlights of the system with a special focus on character creation. So without further ado, how about we find out what this game is all about?
What's in a game?
Dope. Yeah, yeah. We're here to help with that.
Awesome. So this is a supplement for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Would you be able to tell us a bit about what this will do for us in our games?
Absolutely. So anyone who spent a lot of time with 5th Edition, I mean, okay, so first off, full disclosure, we love 5th Edition. We are big 5th Edition fans. I mean, I would be pretty happy playing almost entirely 5th Edition for the next 10 years, at least. I feel like it's really adaptable. It's really flexible. Anytime we want to kind of embark on a crafting attempt for anything, it's usually communicated through downtime and gold spent. And that's like the equation that creates crafting. So witchcraft brings you a crafting layer to the game that attempts to bestow the player with a lot of agency. So it's not just like roll your d20 and spend some gold and eventually you'll have a crafting attempt. It's roll some d6s and add all those totals to see if you succeed. And then if you do succeed, there's various boons and flaws that can get stacked on top of it. And if you take the trade classes, you have a lot of personality ticks that go into it as well. So whenever you do a crafting attempt, It's not just a matter of I craft and a thing happens if I hand wave some time and spend some of my money. It's I craft, and in order to craft, I have to have relationships. I have to recruit friends and allies. I have to convince a mentor to help me. I have to go out into the world and gather supplies. And then when I do that crafting, I get to react to the roles, and I get to do things to supplement my decisions and fix my flaws, and then in the end have something that I put my personality into.
Yeah, a big drive behind this was that we didn't feel like crafting was really doled out in gameplay. Like, you know, you do socializing, and you socialize and pass or fail, you, like Shanna was saying, you can react to that. And there's, like, you know, if you fail to convince a lord, well, now you have to find an alternate path and that kind of thing. Whereas crafting really...
And now you have a lord for an enemy, which can add some interesting things to your game as well.
Yeah. Whereas in crafting, it really wasn't that. It was very binary, pass or fail, like throw the resources and money at it, and it's like one or the other. And so we wanted to give it very much that feel of, yeah, just pretty much what you said, of dice, of gameplay, of being able to react to a thing, of being able to strategize.
Being able to role play.
Role playing.
And, you know, and then we had the theme of it is obviously inspired by Kiki's Delivery Service, if anyone has seen the Kickstarter, because we liked the way in that movie that they deal with self-care and burnout and what it means to make something. And, if anyone's seen the movie, you know that, like, Kiki is a witch, a literal witch, but she shows up in town and she's, like, mesmerized by these bakers that she lives with and their ability to bake. And then she befriends this inventor and who can, you know, like, invent this flying bicycle, essentially. And then, and, you know, there's so much, there's the scene with the grandmother making the cake, the fish pie for her granddaughter. And everything is magical. Like, the ability to make a thing is magical and speaks volumes about who you are as a person and what you care about. And I mean, that's so much of what it means to role play, to play a character at DVD and D&D is to be invested and in your craft. And so that's what witchcraft does.
Yeah, very much why it's domestic magic, right?
Yeah, domestic magic is what we. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, crafting is akin to magic in this particular supplemental.
Yeah. Yeah. Making is a miracle is our catchphrase.
That's really awesome. Yeah. One of the things I absolutely love about this is that it adds a flavor to the game from. It takes me back to my MMO days where I spent hours and hours and hours crafting in Final Fantasy and World of Warcraft. And it takes so much effort to go and get the materials and to do certain quests for certain rare materials. And then in Final Fantasy XI, you literally had to time your crafting to the in-game clock and in-game days and face certain cardinal directions in order to get
those elemental boosts.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it was wild. So to add a level of complexity to Dungeons & Dragons for crafting is definitely my jam. I am so here for this.
That's great. It's funny you should mention that.
Yeah, we were just chuckling about that because we were playing Final Fantasy XIV together, and that was part of the driving force behind this because we were, you know, you go into Final Fantasy XIV, you have your combat class, and you go and you do dungeons, but then you come back and you have your trade jobs, and you actually like build stuff. The build stuff has mini games and you have abilities that you activate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was very much just like, oh, well, like this is, we want some of this in D&D.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. I loved playing the beta for Final Fantasy XIV both times, the one that was bad and the one that was good. I'm really loving this.
Great.
So what sort of materials, do we need to take advantage of the new features in witchcraft? You mentioned some dice.
Yeah. So you're going to need, D6s. You at minimum only need one, but it's probably better to go off with like, you know, a small handful.
It's fun if you can roll especially if you've worked hard.
Yeah.
For those who haven't had a look at the playtest document yet, you can start with a certain number of D6s that are your base crafting dice, but then you can also do preparations that make you make your attempt stronger. So you can...
By giving you additional dice.
Yeah. So you can seek mentorship, or you can quest for high quality materials, or you can seek the assistance of a colleague, or you can plan to give the item as a gift, because generosity always makes your attempt stronger. And then you get to roll all the D6s. And there is a mechanical difference too. You can choose to roll the D6s one at a time or all at once, which will affect whether or not you're a cautious crafter or not.
The temptation.
And then, of course, you also need the core rules, the basic rules at the very minimum.
Which can be found on the 5th edition OGL doc.
Yeah.
Or I believe also the basic rules.
Yeah, basic rules PDF.
Yeah.
Also, which is your player's handbook.
Mm-hmm. Pen, yeah. Paper, imagination.
Yeah. Lots of imagination.
People to play.
Yeah.
People to play with, yes.
That's awesome. So I love the crafting mechanic that you're adding here. What would you say is the most unique thing about it?
We were talking about this earlier.
I know,
we were. Yeah. I would say that it's... Well, first of all, we've gone away from the D20 of the core 5th edition. Mm-hmm. Most things are done with a D20, but we felt like that was too too unreliable and too restrictive, because...
There's no gradient for success or failure.
Exactly, yeah. I liked we wanted to go to a D6 is because it provided a nice bell curve to the probability of your success and that kind of thing. So it just felt better to... not just have that hard line in the middle where you pass or you fail, but actually to have, you are more likely to succeed the more you prepare and all that kind of thing. And also doing so gave us the chance to include kind of these mutations, the boons and flaws, because each D6 that you roll, if you roll a 6, you get a boon. If you roll a 1, you get a flaw. And that you couldn't get away with the D20, right? Like, the only way to do that would be to assign certain numbers to it. It would be a mess.
Yeah. And there's, like, stacks of boons and flaws, and you can mix and match and, like, try and cancel them out and adjust. And as it, like we said this before, but player agency is really, you can adapt to what's happening. And you and probably most important of all, I feel, is the emphasis on playing together at the table. Because when you do downtime crafting, when you have the players who are, I'm gonna spend a week trying to craft a disguise kit or something, then, the players all split up and they all go to do their separate things. And, one of them goes and drinks at the bar for a week, and then one of them decides to get contact. And there's not a lot of meeting in the middle and figuring things out and, working together. And if a person wants to work on a project that's going to take, a couple weeks in game, then you have to convince all the other players that that's okay, that they want to spend a session talking about the minutia of downtime.
Yeah.
So the goal of Witchcraft is to make sure that the party's still working together.
Yeah.
They're still.
So that's why we have a lot of benefits that you gain from working with your partners, but also I just had a playtest the other weekend where the players got a heads up about a giant elk that was out in the woods that would provide excellent materials for both of them. So they're like, oh great, let's go together.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only does it provide adventure hooks that the players can go out and do together, but then when they come back, they each get to craft their own thing and they help each other with it. And we've shortened the craft times down considerably in the system as well.
Hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what types of characters can people make with this supplement?
Oh, all sorts. Mm-hmm. The point of the system is to facilitate being any kind of craftsperson that you can imagine, because there was no way that we would be able to anticipate every single idea that someone would have.
Yeah.
So the system is meant to enable you to be a knitter and a tattoo artist and an alchemist and
basically by player definition, it allows them to pick.
You, yeah, exactly
what they want to be, rather than us providing a list of hard choices.
Yeah. And all these things are meant to go hand in hand with your fifth edition combat class and backgrounds. So you wouldn't forego those steps. You would definitely pick those steps. Mm-hmm. But because it assumes a certain amount of, you know, if you pick a background, you'd have a tools proficiency going in that would help inform your trade class as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all your ability score modifiers and everything like that are determined by your combat class and rolling your character. But once you have all that in place, whether you're, you know, playing a barbarian who is also a tattoo artist, let's say, barbarian tattoo artist, you know, mm-hmm. once you are a barbarian tattoo artist, you could be a barbarian tattoo artist if you wanted, who's never seen combat and or you have seen combat, but you're now retired from it and you don't enjoy it very much anymore. And
just don't rage when you're doing your tattoos. You're probably okay.
Yeah. You don't want to be mad when you're doing a tattoo on someone.
No, but it'd be great when you were receiving a tattoo because you could just, you could rage and then take half damage and you just don't feel it all the way through.
And so you can just choose which aspect of your character is really important. And maybe it's both. Mm-hmm. Like being a tattoo artist is just as important as being a barbarian. Or, you know, one aspect represents your old life and one aspect represents what you're striving towards in your future or whatever marriage of those two ideals you like.
Yeah, I think it also provides a nice level of, I can't think of the right word, but basically, you know, if you were playing that barbarian tattoo artist and you were like, no, I'm full on tattoos, great. But if your friend, the fighter, is like, oh, well, I make weapons sometimes, but mainly I'm a fighter. It's like, oh, great, they can still do that. And this trade class is still there for them. And it doesn't, we made sure to build it in such a way that it doesn't interfere or overpower their main combat class. Like the trade stuff is all very much kept within its own contained self. Mm-hmm. And so while it is a nice like overlay, nice veneer on top of your character, it also doesn't hinder your character.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So can we go over briefly the steps that a player needs to take to add a craft to a character?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you want to take this one or should I?
I mean, I have it written down on the whiteboard.
Go for it.
So to start with, they take a look in the book and they go to the section on taking a trade class. And at level one, they get a few, at tier one of a trade class, they get a few things. They get their base crafting die, which is 1d6. They then gain stamina, which is used for to kind of gate their daily crafting attempts. They gain a language proficiency. They gain a tools proficiency. They gain techniques, which we have listed later in the books. They are kind of akin to warlock invocations in that they help flavor the direction you want to go, the kind of things you want to do with your crafter. They also gain a workspace, which is kind of just like their little area that they do their craft in. And this area can change over time. You know, it can get bigger, it can get smaller.
They can upgrade it later if they so choose.
Yep.
Basic workplace workspace that you get at the beginning of tier one is mm-hmm. meant to be an area that is where you can has all the basic supplies you need to do most of your work. Mm-hmm. Depending on your trade class, it may be a private little attic, or it might be you have a shared space in a workshop forge, for example. Mm-hmm. And you can customize it. You can have little decorations in it as to your liking. We mm-hmm. encourage players to try describing their workshop when they first introduce themselves at the table. Mm-hmm. But we still haven't described how you actually...
I know, that's the last piece. It's the biggest I was waiting for last. And so finally, you pick your media, which is kind of the crowning piece of behind the trade class. And in that, you pick both your trade and your mediums. And we have a little sense that we...
Well, first off, to start with your character, you always pick your trade first. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you start by saying, I want to be a tattoo artist. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you go ahead and you pick your media. And the media are meant to kind of add structure to your tattoo artistry. So we've divided the media based into categories that kind of group the materials into like families, if you will. So our different media are crystals, textiles, wood, metals, living arts, crafting.
Yep.
And the idea is that all crafting can be encompassed by these families of materials. So, for example, crystals covers obviously gemstones and minerals, but also glasswork and porcelain and ceramics and
stonework, masonry.
So stonework as well, masonry, yeah. Metals covers obviously anything to do with metal. Textiles covers anything to do with stitching, fabrics, leather, potentially even vellum. And wood, obviously, is
wood and paper.
Yeah. Yep. The most kind of robust of them, or the one that has like the widest variety, is the living arts, which is anything that where your canvas can change or grow over time. Mm-hmm. So living arts includes things like gardening or farming, but also cooking, also any cosmetic work. So hairstyling, beauticians, manicurists, those would all fall under living arts as well.
Yeah, one thing very notable about the living arts is that everything in it is
temporary. It decays.
Yeah.
You can give someone a beautiful haircut, but it won't last. You can make someone a beautiful meal, but if they don't eat it, it's not going to be beautiful. And
living arts is the consumable media.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if I were to play a tattoo artist, I would probably say that my drafting. Drafting is anything where you basically put ink to a canvas, a work surface of your choice, and you can draft words or illustrations. You can make signs. You can be a cartographer. Mm-hmm. You might be an astrologer or an astronomer. Mm-hmm. That would all fall under drafting. So with living arts, you would probably say that you're with tattoo artists, you would probably say that you're a drafter. That's your primary medium would be drafting, meaning your bread and butter is that you draw things.
Yep.
And then from there, I would guess that your secondary medium would be living arts, because you are drawing on people. Mm-hmm. But the other advantage of living arts is you could say that you want to make your own pigments, and obviously like insect chitin and leaves and those kinds of things can be turned into pigments. So that would be an advantage of living arts. But if you wanted, you could potentially also say that your secondary medium is metals, because you want to make your own needles. Mm-hmm. Or a kind of like clockwork contraption to be your own. If you don't want to do hand poking, you want to invent an actual like foot pedal, you know, you could say metals. If you were kind of gross, perhaps you could say that your secondary medium was textiles, because it's leather. to do human skin. You have some flexibility. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of that is just kind of to help you negotiate with your DM what the confines of your craft are. So you can't just suddenly say like, well, if I can make X and my secondary medium is living arts, then technically I should be able to do Y, like, you know, that kind of thing. No, you are a tattoo artist, and you kind of communicate. So when you sit down with the rest of your table, we encourage the players to kind of go around and introduce, your trade and your combat class, and also your primary and secondary medium. And then say your dream project. And that's just kind of to help the DM and everyone at the table understand what kind of crafter you are. So if I were a tattoo artist, I might say that, my name's Shannon. My character's name is Shanzibald. I'm Shanzibald, the barbarian tattoo artist. My primary medium is drafting. My secondary medium is living arts. And my dream is to one day tattoo a teleportation spell into my own skin, so that I can teleport at will to my home whenever I want. And that would be perhaps my dream job, my dream project, the thing that I one day really hope to be able to craft. And that would be a good opportunity for people at the table to go like, yeah, no, that sounds right. Yeah, drafting, living arts, that would be how you would get there, or for the DM to
negotiate with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the character creation process of certain techniques, as Dylan mentioned, are limited to certain media. Mm-hmm. And obviously the media you pick also kind of restrict what you are able to craft. You can craft anything you want in the whole game, but the benefit of your trade class is that gives you bonuses and techniques to apply towards your chosen trade. And those techniques don't apply if you're trying to craft outside of your chosen trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it helps kind of scope it for the DM as well.
Yeah.
I can't help but thinking about your barbarian with the tattoo of teleportation, though, because now I'm just picturing having a map tattooed on yourself with waypoints, and you just like tap it and you just
And then you worked with a cartographer to do that, and you got the advantage. So your cartographer friend helped you tattoo the map. Mm-hmm. And then you, yeah, yes.
There it is.
Okay.
Dream project. Now we just need inks that allow for teleportation, which I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
From some crystal, from some far away.
You have a friend who's an alchemist, and they can help you with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It works itself out.
Yeah. It's funny how these things just come together.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Well, that's pretty amazing. I really like that. How does one you mentioned tiers before. How does one advance tiers then?
So we've tied it to the proficiency of a character.
Oh.
So, it's just directly tied to your base class. And as you level up, you gain proficiency. And currently, you gain a tier every time your proficiency goes up. So... you start at tier 1, and then at 5th level, when your proficiency goes up, you are now tier 2, and so on and so forth, all the way up to 17th level, which is when you would hit tier 5.
Nice.
There is also a variant in the playbook where if DMs wanted that system to be a bit more in-depth, they could put additional requirements on those tiers. For example, you know, your fighter may be 5th level now, but you need to go train with a master before you can tear up and that kind of thing.
Tear up.
I appreciate a good pun. Awesome. Well, is there anything else that's interesting from the Kickstarter that you'd like to highlight that we haven't gone over, especially anything that might relate to character creation?
Anything that might relate specifically to character creation?
Yeah. No, not that we can think of. We try to put as much information as we could into the Kickstarter, especially with the.
Yeah, I feel like we've dumped a lot of dense info into this podcast.
Yeah, especially with the playtest material that we put up and stuff. It's kind of like if there's information to be had, we've given it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the information that we're temporarily withholding to provoke excitement is mostly the lore setting for the world that we're basing it in and the adventure that we're planning to release with the book. Yeah, that's basically
it's pretty straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the way that our goal here with the trade and your primary media and your secondary media and then, like, further customization through your... techniques.
Yeah.
Is to basically let you be whatever trade you want, but then to also like limit your potency to your area of expertise. Not because we want to stunt player opportunity, but because we want to encourage teamwork and collaboration with the other people at the table. Mm-hmm. So if there's like any gray area where you're not sure if that's your trade's area of expertise, if you would actually be able to craft that thing, or if you would have the knowledge or insight necessary to craft it, ideally there's someone at your table who can. And if not someone at your table, then an NPC that your DM can summon. And it just don't feel limited. Don't feel scared about which media you pick, because there's always going to be someone at the table who can lend a hand.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I think I might have one,
okay.
Which is that when it comes to techniques, we did our best to make sure that they didn't impact, again, your core class too much. So for the majority of them, they're all very focused on making you craft better, on adjusting like this system that we have set up for crafting. For example, at later tiers, there's some that let you gain... preparation benefits more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one I think called the good stuff, which later on you can get high quality materials preparation bonus more than once. And one of the things I really like about that is that even though you can gain that bonus more than once, it has to be unique materials for each one. Mm-hmm. So while it is a great benefit, because that just means more dicks, there are D6s rolling in, you do have to go on that little adventure or figure out how to get those materials both times. So
Yeah, the exception to that, of course, being the tier 5 techniques that are available when you reach the pinnacle of your crafting career. Mm-hmm. Those ones are specifically have prerequisites that reflect how you might play in your combat class. Mm-hmm. And that's meant to just kind of be the culmination of who your character has become, both as a crafter and as an adventurer.
Yeah, those ones are especially tricky because you know, with people using Unearthed Arcana and playing their own homebrew classes and stuff, we definitely wanted to avoid just putting, you know, you have to be a rogue to take this particular technique. So we've tried to find a good method to make them general enough that if someone were playing a homebrew class, they could still find it and be like, ooh, this applies to me. But
yeah, it's meant to reflect play style more than
actual class requirements.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I'm just looking through the Kickstarter right now. You've got some pretty interesting stretch goals coming up. Some new magic items, I see.
Yes.
Some new spells. I always love new spells. Looks like weaving spellcraft with tradecraft. That sounds really interesting, too. Kind of figuratively, creating characters. You've got plenty of reward levels that artists can actually draw characters of yours, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's always, like, very popular for not just having your characters drawn, but your avatars on Twitter and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, one of the things we prioritize here at Astrolago Press is really gorgeous art and working with really excellent artists. So obviously we know that's the real show is the artists. Mm-hmm. So we try and make sure that they get paid really well as we can afford to pay them. And the stretch goals also unlock pay raises for those artists as well, so that they get to share in the success of the campaign.
Oh, nice. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked seeing the number of artists that you have on there, and the variety as well. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah, Shannon works very hard on acquiring the
I best. Take credit for all of their talent.
I would know we were going to say that for sure.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Thank you both so much for joining me to talk about witchcraft.
Thank you so much for having us on. It was very fun to talk about witchcraft.
By all means, we could go on and on.
I know. We've been working on this for a year. It's just now we can't shut up about it.
Well, I am very much looking forward to getting this into my hands. And for those out there, try to get it into your hands, too. The Kickstarter should still be going on right now.
Yeah, it ends April 5th at 11:30 a.m. So
yeah, we've only been at it.
11:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah,
yeah,
we've only been at it for 3 days now.
3 days, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, you are at 999 backers.
Ooh. 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 That's a thrilling number.
That's exciting. Awesome. Very cool. Well, Shannon, could you go ahead and remind everyone where they can find you online?
Yeah, sure. So you can follow me on Twitter at WordWeasel, but as the head honcho of Astrolago Press, you could also reach me at Astrolago, which is our Twitter account. You can contact us through astrolago.com if you so choose.
Very cool. And Dylan, what about yourself?
I'm also on Twitter at Dylan J Mac, DillonJMac.
Yeah, he spells Dylan a weird way, and so he's very self-conscious about it.
I mean, I don't spell it a weird way.
Everyone else spells it a weird way.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you both so much for joining me for this special bonus episode of Character Creation Spotlight, and thanks everyone that is listening for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, I waved, but goodbye.
Character Creation Spotlight, like Character Creation Cast, is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network and can be found online at www.charactercreationcast.com. Head to the website to get more information on our hosts and guests, or even find some of our character sheets. Character Creation Cast can be found on Twitter at CreationCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter, and I can be found on Twitter at Lord Neptune. Our other host, Amelia Antrim, can be found on Twitter at Ginger Reckoning. Music for this episode is used with a Creative Commons license or with permission from the podcast it originated from. Further information can be found within the show notes. This episode was edited by Ryan Bolter. Further information for the game systems used and today's guests can also be found in the show notes. Thanks for joining us, and remember, we find that the best part of any role-playing game is character creation. So go out there and create some amazing people. We will see you next time.
We gotta read some show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Character Creation Cast is hosted by the One Shot Podcast Network. If you enjoyed our show, visit oneshotpodcast.com, where you'll find other great shows like Modifier.
Modifier is an interview show hosted by Megan Dornbrock, all about why and how people change games. From the hobbyist to the professional, from house rules to publication, we all have in mind a better way to play. What's yours?
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.